Yep, it's that time again.
Yes, it is.
You've entered the steam room. Please keep the towel on.
That's a fluid situation on the towel.
Well, I mean, when there are other people in the steam room, I tend to keep the towel
yes,
on.
Yes, 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 yes.
And we're in here. Someone just came in the steam room, and I'm saying, keep the towel on. Please. So welcome to what by my calculations is the fastest growing podcast in the history of podcasts. At last count, Chuck, 600 trillion subscriptions.
My goodness.
To the steam room.
And they said we would never make it.
Yeah, and that's just some rough estimating that I've been doing, but it probably is subject to change. In this episode, we'll review the Super Bowl.
Yes, what a game.
We'll have Tim Kiley, our longtime producer, who's
on
top of the local news.
What about, speaking of no game?
The Oscars are coming up.
Oh, yes.
We will gaze into the crystal ball. Charles has never missed, he tells me.
Never missed.
A Best Picture prediction. That's what you say. But I've been there when you've misfired on those before. All of that to come, along with Chuck's answering machine. But we begin as we always do, this way.
First of all, you know you have a lot of money when you get Honey Nut Cheerios. I've had the regular Cheerios. First of all, you know anybody ride a motorcycle who makes millions of dollars is an idiot. First of all, zero plus zero is zero.
It's first of all. Yes. So first of all, what's on the Chuckster's mind?
Well, this is personal for me. This is about some idiot lady in Iowa. I don't even know the lady's name. I just know she's an idiot. And I'm going to give you a couple reasons why. So I'm watching all the stuff in Iowa. And they had this lady who says, she walks up to the poll. She says, can I have my vote back?
At the Iowa caucus.
At the Iowa caucus.
Democratic.
And the lady says, excuse me? She says, can I have my vote back? I want to change it. And the lady says, why? She says, I just found out Pete Buttigieg was gay. And the lady says, excuse me again? She says, yeah, he's gay. He's got a husband. And she says, oh, I can't vote for a gay guy. And it hurt me for all my gay friends that somebody could be that narrow-minded that she says, I can't vote for a gay guy. Don't worry about his policies or anything like that. And that bothered me.
Well, apparently his policies were enough to garner her support.
No,
until she found out.
Ernie, but see,
backing up what you're saying.
No, but my thing is, what's worse, her discriminating against gay people or being so stupid that she didn't know that?
No, it was multi-layered.
So that's what bothered me. Like, lady, you should know whether he's gay or not and his policies before you hand in the vote. You don't, like, and one thing, like I say, I don't judge other people. I got plenty of gay friends. Bless them. But to already place your vote and then try to go back just because the guy is gay, that's just stupid. But I think what's more stupid is that you should do your homework on every candidate. And I was going to say, I don't know what I'm more mad about, her discriminating against him for being gay, or her being so stupid that she didn't do her homework on the candidate.
Yeah, it was a piece of video that went viral. You can certainly find it if you choose to find it. We're not going to use a name or any of that.
Yeah,
but I get so fed
up. You know, you got this impeachment thing going on. We got the greatest country in the world. I've been around the world. America's the greatest place in the world. But this embarrassment of this impeachment stuff and the way our country is ran now.
When you say embarrassment of the impeachment stuff, what do you mean?
I mean that people just vote with party lines. That to me was embarrassing.
This, and you know, Chuckster, it was like watching the results in Iowa and how mangled that was, where you have this big buildup to the Iowa caucuses. Who's going to have the head of steam heading into New Hampshire? Yeah. Well, stick around. Yeah. We're going to know in another day or so. So that was all messed up. And watching the State of the Union.
Yeah.
When you talk about being strictly divided down party lines
and
divisiveness, and all right, I'm not shaking her hand, I'm ripping up his speech, we're going to chant four more years. It's
embarrassing.
I couldn't watch it.
It's the notice that the President of the United States would not shake hands with the Speaker of the House, and then her tearing those papers up. I'm like, this is a joke. This dude is the President of the United States, and she's the Speaker of the House, and she tears these papers up. Like,
it was embarrassing, Chuckster.
It was
you know what? It was like, if I'm the rest of the world and I'm watching this is, you know, this is like we watch sometimes, we'll see government bodies around the world where, hey, suddenly a fist fight breaks out, or this happens, or somebody throws, and you know what? If I'm watching this from a distance, I'm saying, oh,
what the world is
guys,
wrong with
you, what are those America. Guys got going on?
Yeah, so I was just embarrassed by the whole thing. I'm like, dude, you're the president. You got to shake her hand. And then she trumps it.
Oh, nice play on words.
Yes. I actually
stop him before he does it again.
Yeah, but I'm just so disgusted with politics right now. And like I say, I'm not going to sit here and act like whoever the president of the United States is going to change my life dramatically. But man, we got to. What happened to civility?
Excellent question, Chuckster.
What happened to
civility? And I wish I had the answer. But
it's going to be interesting the next year and a half.
Seems a lot of times that ship has sailed. You know what I want to talk about when we come back? Much lighter stuff.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about the Oscars.
Yes.
Let's talk about the best movies and all that stuff. We'll do that when we come back with more on The Steam Room. Back here on The Steam Room, we're...
This is my favorite part of the show today, I'm not going to lie.
What is?
The Oscar stuff.
Oh, okay, good.
I do.
Well, this is only the second segment. You don't know the next two segments could be absolutely breathtaking.
You know how I feel about movies, though.
Oh, I know you do.
Yeah, I love my movies.
So is this list that I'm looking at, say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, what are there, 9? Or are there more than 9? There are 9 Best Picture nominees. Now, and I know you like to go to the movies.
Yeah, I do.
So The Irishman, you seen it?
Yes.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No.
Yes or no will suffice.
Okay.
1917?
Yes.
Joker?
Yes.
Parasite?
No.
Jojo Rabbit?
Yes.
Ford versus Ferrari?
Yes.
Marriage Story?
No.
Little Women?
No.
All right. So, having not seen all of them, of the ones that you've seen, Chuckster, because you've seen 6, I guess, you know, 5, 6 of these, what gets your vote for Best Picture?
1917.
I've heard that it was outstanding.
It's outstanding, but the two that I really want to see.
Well, tell me about 1917.
It's a typical, wait a minute, I haven't seen 1917. I apologize.
See what I'm dealing with?
No, I apologize.
See, I see these chuckles around the crew.
No.
It's like,
Ernie,
man.
I'm not going to lie to you. I have not.
Okay, so you haven't seen 1917.
Have
you seen The Irishman?
I have seen Irishman. Irishman is, okay, they're the same group. Casino, Goodfellas.
The Departed?
That same thing.
Yeah.
I think all those movies are the same. First of all, Goodfellas is probably one of my top 5 movies. You don't like Goodfellas?
No, I just love talking to you, man, because you crack me up. But I know I do. I love Goodfellas. That was one of those that, if you're flipping around, it's like, Goodfellas. I'll watch it from here.
Casino.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are the same movie.
Oh, okay.
They're just older.
Okay.
They're just old. Okay. But I will tell you this. The two movies I've got to see, and I've been told this, 3 actually.
Obviously, 1917 is one.
1917, Jojo Rabbit. And you know, remember the night we had Adam Sandler in here?
Yes, sir.
He said,
it's not nominated for Best Picture, Uncut Gems, but Adam Sandler is sensational in that. And Kevin Garnett is Garnett. Wonderful.
Yeah. But guess what he said the best movie? I don't want to paraphrase what he said. He said Parasite.
Yeah. I haven't seen that.
He said Parasite was one of the best movies, and he recommended that.
Okay. So back to the question of those that you have seen. And again, you have to take 1917.
Can I say something? What's really weird about movies?
Are you going to answer this question?
Yeah, I am in a second.
What's the best movie you've seen?
Okay, I just want to hold on one second because I have an issue with this Joker.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Okay.
And
you
it's,
don't have to.
But I'm saying it's won every award. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking I need to go see it again.
Because, so maybe you missed something that you were supposed to see.
Yes. And I know Joaquin Phoenix has won all the awards, and he's probably going to win the Academy Award. But when I'm sitting there watching this movie, I'm like, I'm not feeling this at all.
Yeah.
So it's weird. So let's get back to your list.
Well.
Can I see the list again?
Well, you, The Irishman, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 1917, Joker, Parasite, Jojo Rabbit, Ford versus Ferrari, Marriage Story, and Little Women, and you have not seen those last two.
They're not going to win, but the best one I've seen on that list is Ford versus Ferrari. I actually thought Matt Damon and Christian Bale were awesome. I loved his little son, Christian Bale's little son. I thought his wife was cool, but Christian Bale, going back to The Fighter, he was great, and the one came out about Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, well, you couldn't, yeah. It was amazing.
I just think Christian Bale and Matt Damon is fabulous.
You know, and I remember telling you, I said, you need to see this movie. It's really good. Because when I first saw the advertisements for it, it was like, I don't know. Because I'm not a big gearhead. You know, I don't know cars that great. But once you start watching that.
Yeah. And I didn't know any of that stuff.
It was such a wonderful story and the characters and everything. And
my man Josh was such a prick in the movie. I forget Josh's last name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember, we had him in for Glory.
You're exactly right.
We had a screening for Glory, and
what is his name? Josh. Yeah, because he played the coach in.
Yes.
But yeah. Just detested him in that movie,
and I was like, "Yo, man, this dude." But Christian Bale played his part amazing, and Matt was fantastic.
So Cap, our producer, Charles and I were kind of, stumbling all around this Josh, who is he, and expecting to hear Cap say, "Here's the last name." And there it is, Josh Lucas.
Josh Lucas.
Thank you, Cap. Well,
so he's done some good stuff, but, man, I that's one thing I love about movies, when you hate a character or love a character.
Well, that's how that's the sign of a good film, is because they develop the characters to the point that it makes them rootable.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do that, if you just have a bunch of folks, but the way they develop these guys, and you're either pulling for them or you're saying, oh, I hope this guy gets it at the end of this movie. That's what makes it.
I've got to see Marriage Story.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of Adam Driver.
I thought you were going to say you're a big fan of Marriage. So you want to see Marriage Story.
I said, I'm a big fan of... now you're messing with me, man. I'm a big fan of Adam Driver, going back to Black Klansman. Shout out to my boy Spike Lee.
Oh, he's really good.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. But he's really good. I saw him. He hosted Saturday Night Live about 2-3 weeks ago.
Right. I can't wait to see what comes out of this.
Once 1917 is going to win.
And again, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. But we've heard that, yes. I like watching... One of the reasons I started going to see different movies, because like what you see when they win awards,
mm-hmm.
That's when you're like, okay, a lot of people voted. They like this movie. And that's a good way to start going seeing movies.
I just like the way you started describing 1917. You know, it's kind of your typical, hold it. I haven't seen that.
No, because you know what happened?
Yes.
I went to see, I was going to see 1917, and then I walked by the marquee, and I went and saw The Gentleman with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, okay.
And I got a man crush on Charlie Hunnam right now. Is that how you say his name?
You're the one with the crush.
Yeah, I do. I started watching him with he played a royal guy in one of these recent movies, King Arthur. But so I didn't see him.
Royal
in,
guy.
Yeah, I didn't see him in Anarchy, whatever that series was. But I got a man crush on Charlie Hunnam right now. But Hugh Grant was great. What's my man name? But he was great too.
It's no question and no surprise when you listen to this segment of the Steam Room that people who are searching for entertainment news know there's only one source, and that is the Steam Room.
Yes.
Because that's where we can tell you about movies you haven't seen and guess at the names of those who might appear on the screen. And
you can't remember everybody's name.
That's what puts us right up here, way on the top rung on the credibility ladder. I think that guy's really good. The guy I got a crush on, I don't know what his name
Charlie Hunnam, sure, is his name.
Okay. Anyway, good luck to everybody who's nominated. Remember, it's an honor to be nominated.
Yeah, unless you lose.
Yeah, excellent point. Back with more on the Steam Room after this. Can you imagine a world filled with folks wearing the Steam Room bathrobe as nicely as Tim Kiley, our longtime producer?
Hey, are you really wearing a Dan Marino hat?
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, Chuck. The way Pat Mahomes was throwing the ball around, he reminded me of my teammate and my friend, Dan Marino. Let me ask you a question.
If I had a dollar for every time you dropped Dan Marino's name, I'd have an extra $10, $15 million.
I could. Maybe you could send me that because you want to talk to him?
You ever think?
Danny, you on the phone?
Yeah, what's up, Tim?
Oh, my God.
Iceman.
Are you serious?
The Iceman is here.
How about that, Chuckster?
Unbelievable. What a night. Dan Marino, what's up, brother?
It's all good, Charles. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great.
They said he wanted me to surprise you on the show.
You definitely surprised me. Hey, because he dropped your name. I've been working with him for 19 years, and he brags so much about you all the time.
And you know what? He should.
He was at a dinner, and he looked at all of us and said, how in the hell did I win a game with any of these guys?
Oh, that's the truth, man. That's the truth.
I've been given by your buddy Tim Kiley, you know, a few bullet points on your career. But before I get to any of those, can you describe honestly, Dan, Tim's football skills?
Well, he's one of those guys, I guess you would call a fringe player. It would be.
Thanks, Ice.
You got it, Tim. Anytime. I was always referred to him as a wedge buster. You know, you just send him down on a kickoff, stick his neck in there, and break up the wedge. And
yeah,
that's probably why he's bald now.
Hey, you had a fun week down there last week, I bet.
You know what? It was. I thought Miami put on a good show, man. It was a lot of fun. Had some good parties. Had some, you know, some corporate stuff I did. But the game was great, too. The game was outstanding.
It was outstanding.
Tell me about what Patrick Mahomes does, Dan, that gets your attention.
His ability to throw the football the way he does, like from all angles. And he has a real good sense in the pocket, you know, good feel. And, he can flat out sling it, you know, and that's you got to be able to do that, you know, in the NFL. And he has all the throws. Let's put it that way.
I'm gonna ask you a football question. I'm gonna start with a basketball question. Try to compare the two. So in the NBA now, we don't have big guys anymore. We just have a bunch of little guys running around. Even the big guys shoot threes. I don't think it's great for the game. Now my question to you is, are you happy with the way football has become all offense now?
Yeah, I mean, I see it that it's something that's exciting for the fans. You know, I mean, the way the rules are now, you know, you look at a quarterback, you can't hit them in the head or you can't hit them below the knee. And it's made for throwing the football. I mean, it's the way it is. It's what people want to see. And that's why they're putting up these huge numbers. I mean, you know, Mahomes last year, he threw 50 touchdowns. I mean, that's for a first-year player. I mean, that's amazing. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch. There's no doubt about it, Charles.
This thing where you can't touch the quarterback anymore, like,
right.
I don't like it personally because it's like they're saying one guy, first of all, I don't want anybody to get hurt. But to me, what they're saying is, because anybody who got the courage to play football, I admire them. But to say that one position, we have to protect that one position above all other positions, I get a little frustrated with that.
Well, you know what? I think it is to a certain extent. I can see where you get frustrated. But also the other, you know, the other players, too. Receivers can't get, you know, you can't have the head shots anymore down the field. So it's a little easier going across the middle sometimes because, you know, most of the time you're not going to get your head knocked off. So all that stuff plays into it. And it's not just, I mean, it is, it's more, there's more emphasis on the quarterback. You're right. But at the same time, I think it's the same with other players too. You know, so it's not quite, I agree with what you're saying to a certain extent, but it's also it's a factor for receivers and running backs and, you know, anybody that's touching the ball.
Dan, in all objective honesty, better performance, Charles in Space Jam or you in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
There is no doubt that me playing in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective was way better than Space Jam.
Charles?
I feel like I made Jim Carrey a star. Because if it wasn't for me, no one would know who the hell he is.
Toughest college football team you ever faced, Georgia, right?
Speaking of which, Danny, I got a little present for Ernie. Chuck, you'll enjoy this.
Go ahead.
Cap, you got it?
The 1982 Sugar Bowl pitted the 10-1 Panthers against the highly ranked Georgia Bulldogs. With just seconds remaining in the game, Pitt trailed by 3. It was fourth down.
Could be the last play for him. Marino goes deep.
I remember watching that.
Oh, that was good stuff. That was good stuff.
That was a good Georgia team, though, wasn't it?
Sorry, Ernie. Sorry, buddy. They shouldn't have blitzed me on fourth down. That was
yeah, I know.
If you blitz on fourth down, you better get to him.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah. Over all this time, you know, you got to get over it, man. You just got to accept it.
No, you were you had a little time to throw that ball. I'm not surprised that it was a bucket shot down there, man. Man alive.
There you go. Love you, man. You're the best.
You guys do a hell of a job on your show, man. I enjoy it.
Hey, Dan.
Beats the heck out of working,
you,
Dan.
Number one, I've been around you many times, man. I tell people you're a good man. Thanks for taking the time for the steam room.
Oh, no problem, bud. At any time, man.
I don't know what – I know on your resume, man, I know first ballot Hall of Famer, et cetera, but steam room guest, that's going to go right up there near the top, my friend.
That's it.
Well, thank you, Ernie.
Hey, Dan, thanks for being on, man.
Thanks, Dan.
Marino. Great job, man. Thank you.
Don't call me for a while, okay?
Yeah, I ain't coming down to your house either, so don't worry about it.
We'll see you next week on the steam room.
All right. You guys are the best. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, pal.
Later, man. The Super Bowl, Chuck Strip.
Oh, man.
That was a good one.
That was a heck of a game. I mean, both teams, you know, like I said, I'm not going to blame the 49ers. I know everybody's ragging on Kyle Shanahan right now. But, like, man, Patrick Mahomes is special. Yeah. But I was really more happy for Andy Reid.
Yes, sir.
Because, you know, he's,
no,
on,
because
he's on the Charles Barkley shit list.
For?
You know, guys who had great careers who never won the big game.
Oh,
so I always root for those guys. And they're like, well, Andy Reid has the most wins who never went in the Super Bowl. I'm like, why you have to finish it like that? I mean, so I love when guys who haven't won a championship in sports win it. Because, no, it's always a crappy list to be on. So I was really happy. Because, first of all, being in Philly for the last 30-some years, Andy was there for like 15, 16 years. and even in Kansas City, now, I've never heard a bad word about Andy Reid. So I was happy for him.
Can I give a shout out before they throw us out of here?
Sure.
I just wanted to mention that my friend Dan Marino built a hospital for autism in 1995.
Wow.
In Miami. It's called the Dan Marino Center at Miami Children's Hospital because one of his boys is autistic.
Wow.
And he adopted two children from China, much like Ernie.
That's awesome. Great job of getting him, by the way.
That is.
It was wonderful talking to him.
I mean, you know how big a sports fan I am, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm planning Dan Marino's golf tournament. And, you know, when you meet somebody who's great, you hope they're a nice guy. Because we know some guys who are just total jackasses when you meet them. But from the first time I met Dan Marino, he's just a good guy.
Good. Wonderful having Dan with us. And when we come back, one of everybody's most, I don't know, I would say favorite or most entertaining parts of the show, the answering machine.
Beep.
Chuck's answering machine.
Is it ever full, Ernie?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, no question.
We had to. It's a specially made answering machine. Has two big reel-to-reel things.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll be back. Back here in the steam room, and if you were a regular listener or a steamer, as we like to call you.
Well, that's what the guy calls us.
Yeah, but I like that. I like that. Anybody who listens to the steam room is a steamer.
A loyal steamer.
A loyal steamer.
I like that.
So if you're a loyal steamer, you know what it's time for as we wrap up another episode of the steam room. We're going old school.
You've reached Charles Barkley. Leave a message, America.
Hey, Chuck. First of all, it was hilarious when you called wings flappers. Anyway, you got me thinking. Describe your perfect wing. Buffalo, barbecue, lemon pepper. Do you like them extra hot or mild? Do you dip them in ranch or blue cheese? The steamers want to know. Thanks, Chuck.
Well,
And I also thought it was hilarious when you, because I was asking you, do you like the drumettes or the flat ones? You said, oh, yeah, the flappers.
First of all, I don't ever dip my wings.
I think I've seen you.
You saw me dip it in the red sauce, the raspberry sauce.
Yes.
Yes. But I don't ever dip them in ranch or anything like that.
Yeah.
But lemon pepper and jerk sauce are probably my two favorite wings. I mean, I do. Lemon pepper is always good, but that, when you get a great jerk place, the jerk sauce, they're pretty awesome. And I have no problem with the buffalo sauce, I'm not going to lie. But if I had my preference, if I can get lemon pepper and jerk, I'm good.
So you don't need a real hot sauce that kind of burns your, you know, keeps you, give me something to drink.
And I don't mind spicy. I don't want to go overboard. Some people like want them really, really hot. I'm like, that's just stupid. I want to enjoy my food. I don't want to have to grab a glass of water or beer after every bite.
We have I don't know if you have a favorite place to get your wings, but I know.
Which is hard.
Yeah, but we, you know, there have been a few nights.
Oh, yeah.
Locally, the pub. A mile and a half from where we're taping the steam room now.
The pub. And
those have got some lemon pepper. And that's where they had that raspberry sauce.
Who
would have thought?
I know. Who came up with that?
I don't know.
But they do a fantastic job with the lemon pepper, the teriyaki, the barbecue, the buffalo. But man, wings are they're not easy.
Yeah,
because a lot of places they crispy on the outside and half done on the inside, which just pisses me off to no end.
And we shouldn't mention the place where we really love those. We really love those wings because I don't know if it's allowed that we mention 11th Street Pub, but
yeah.
Oh,
it's on 11th Street.
I just did.
I just said pub.
Yeah.
It's on 11th Street.
Yeah. It's awesome.
That's probably why they call it the 11th Street Pub.
Yeah. You're right. Hey, I think we have another call.
What's up, Ernie? What's up, Chuck? Charles wanted to ask you back from your thump and bump days, who's got the bigger ass? You or Mahorn?
That's gonna be tough.
One of my favorite people in the world is Rick Mahorn. You know, there are some teammates that you play with, Derek Smith, Johnny Dawkins, Hersey Hawkins, Mark West, Dan Marley, Kevin Johnson. There are some teammates that you really, really love being with and around. Mike Jaminski, I don't want to leave Big Mike out. But Mahorn and me got along really, really well. He was great for me.
Are you kind of wandering away from
the question, as it was posed? First of all, I'm offended by the question. have you seen Rick's fat ass? But I just want to mention some of my other cool teammates. But I'm a little offended by your question. If you've seen Rick Mahorn, you know his ass is a lot bigger than mine. Love you, Horn.
Yeah, you have a funny way of showing it. Next call.
Hey, guys. This is Kayla from Chicago. Excited for my first hometown All-Star Weekend. My question is, what is All-Star Weekend like for Charles Barkley?
Well, it's different as a player and an announcer. Number one, Chicago, second favorite city in the world after Toronto. It's just fun. I think sometimes people get carried away saying the game is not competitive. Like, your team, you have an obligation to your team and not go out there and get hurt or anything like that. So you just go out to have fun. The highlight of the weekend is probably the slam dunk three-point shooting contest. But it's just a great celebration. I think the NBA does a fantastic job of bringing back all the old guys. And to me, that's the highlight. When you're walking around and you see Magic Johnson, you see Larry Bird, you see Bill Russell, you see Kareem, you see Jerry West. Like, to be around those guys, and I'm an old guy, but I don't think we ever highlight the old guys enough. Because if it wasn't for those guys, it wouldn't be in the NBA today. So just walking around seeing all those older guys, to me, is the highlight of the weekend.
You went to a lot of All-Star games as a player. Did it ever get old?
It never gets old because it lets you know that, like, wow, I'm doing good. I've accomplished some amazing
things. Consistently.
Consistently. Yeah. I like some guys, you know, because Kenny always say his biggest regret is never making an All-Star team. And so, like, some guys make it once or twice and they never get there again. They have sustained excellence. You know, you saw that. It just kind of rolled off my tongue. Yeah. Sustained excellence. It really meant a great deal to me. And it's an honor and a privilege.
On that note, we put the wraps on another episode of The Steam Room.
Yes.
Just can't wait until next week to see how exponentially, you like that one? How
like
exponentially the number of subscribers will have grown by then. We might be into the gazillions by then.
There you go.
Thanks, loyal steamers.